HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is TechCetra, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths.
Today's episode will be hosted by Karan Machado. Karan is a radio host with 94.3 Radio 1 and is a fellow podcaster of the Tech for Change podcast. Over to you, K.
Thanks so much, Prasid. And let's give you a little bit of an intro on today's episode. Over the last decade, digital has really been driving the healthcare industry through various innovations in how we diagnose and cure diseases. Now, the heart of the matter is that technology is actually enabling the longevity of the human body. And this wouldn't have, you know, happened without a massive growth in AI-driven solutions and digital transformations in the healthcare industry. Today, we have with us Ashutosh Banerjee. He is the Global General Manager for Cardiology Solutions and Diagnostic Cardiology at GE Healthcare. He's got a career spanning two decades. Ashutosh has led teams in sales, operations, marketing, and now in product management. And he has experience across several industries ranging from consumer durables and IT to healthcare. And of course, all of these both in India, South Asia, and also worldwide experience in multinational corporations as well. Good to have you here, Ashutosh. It's wonderful to see you. Welcome to this episode of Mint Tech Cetra. And I hope you're doing fine as you join us from your very cool studio.
Thank you, Kay. It's a great pleasure being here. I used to listen to your channels on FM quite a bit when I was in India. So great to reconnect here.
Happy to hear that. Awesome. You know, I want to get into the meat of the matter, into today's topic. And I remember our previous episode with Mr. Jan Michaela, where we were talking about how will digital transformation impact healthcare in the future. We actually discussed how digital technologies would help the industry move towards precision healthcare. What's your take on this? Let's start with that.
It's a good question. So, you know, let me talk about two things here.
Sure.
One is digital technologies and the second is precision healthcare, right? So when we say digital today, that word is used in so many variety of ways that, it sometimes becomes confusing about what really are we talking about, right? So digital, the way we look at it in GE Healthcare is essentially two things. It is essentially about helping the clinician make better care decisions for the patient. And it's also helping connect the patient himself or herself, right? And what do I mean by that? The clinician, whether the clinician is at the bedside in the hospital or whether the clinician is taking care of somebody with a chronic disease like, diabetes or, heart problems or hypertension, right? And the clinician is not by your side. How does the clinician get information that helps them take care of the patient and find a problem early enough, right? So that's what we mean by digital. So when we say digital technologies in healthcare, we are looking at technologies that support the clinician get the information they need, whether they are at the bedside or not, and technologies that help the patient manage themselves and also their care team. Like my older parents in India, I am their care team, right? So I better information for how they are doing, right? So that's what digital technologies is all about. Precision healthcare, on the other hand, is what supports with digital technologies to help diagnose, detect early, and manage the disease, right? So, we have chronic disease burden has gone up big time in all over the world. Hypertension, 35% of the world's population is hypertensive. And you can imagine that's billion plus people around the world who have hypertension, me being one of them, right?
Oh, so, okay.
How do you manage it, right? So hypertension is something that you can live with. And if you take good care of yourself, you exercise well, you have your meds, you'll be fine, right? But people, do not either have the information to manage themselves well or their doctors don't have the information to manage them well. So precision healthcare is all about early detection diagnosis. It's management of the disease. It's also helping in therapeutic actions by giving the right information at the right time. So that's what we are building on. And it requires partnerships. It requires innovation. It requires, specific technologies for specific population sets.
When you mentioned how you are the care for your parents, I think life comes full circle, right? You see this, your parents taking care of their parents. And now when you are taking care of yours, life really does come full circles. But what I kind of really struck out for me with what you just said is it means that we can safely say that going forward, the key to improving operational decision making will actually lie correct me if I'm wrong here, in their ability to leverage digital transformation. So I came across a term actually called patient care pathways when I was going through GE Healthcare case studies, in fact. But now what's interesting is that you are a B2B organization. So what do care pathways mean, and you know, why is that a priority for you guys?
It's a good question. So when we say we are a B2B organization, we usually mean that we are a B2B2C, meaning we sell and we market our technologies to our business partners, who are our hospitals and clinicians, right? But our aim is always the patient, right? So we design around the patient and we design for the patient. You know, look at cardiology. There are 17.9 million people who die of cardiology annually, of cardiovascular diseases annually, right? It's a World Health Organization published figure. One in four people in India have cardiac disease. India, unfortunately, is the cardiac disease and diabetes capital of the world, right?
I'm aware, so yeah.
If we do not focus on the patient who has these diseases and help people get diagnosed and treated early, then there's no point, right? So although we are a B2B organization, everything we do is designed around the patient. And when we talk of a patient care pathway, let me give you an example. So when I'm a patient, so let me take my own example. So got hypertension, you know, I'm one of those nerdy kind of people who have gadgets and stuff. So I actually detected my own hypertension, but let's forget that for a moment. Somebody has, you know, getting headaches all the time, getting tired all the time. They go to the doctor, right? So what's my patient experience? So I go to the doctor. The doctor says, let's take your blood pressure and let's take your ECG. Blood pressure comes up high. Doctor says, you better exercise and take care of stuff. So let's say I do not follow that advice. I take my meds, but I don't exercise. And I come to a point where I have some kind of a chest pain. I go to the doctor again. Today, what happens is the doctor will forget whatever was done in the past. He'll say, okay, let's take your ECG all over again. But the problem is that when you have an event, that ECG is more valuable than when you go in and you're not having an event. You may not even have the problem when you take the ECG in the clinic, right?
Correct, yeah.
There's a disconnect, right? But suppose you're lucky enough that the problem recurs when you are at the clinician side and the ECG shows that, right? So you are given a drug, a thrombolytic, and you are stabilized. You are then sent to a cath lab. The cath lab, if that cath lab doctor does not have the ECG taken in the clinic or when you had the event, it's useless for them. So they will actually do stuff all over again on you.
Yeah.
They will do ECG, they'll do everything, echo, and they'll put you on the cath lab. In the cath lab, they will find out if there is a problem. Sometimes you don't find a problem. You know, sometimes it's all okay, right? But so the patient experience is all disjointed, right? So when we talk of a patient care pathway, it's about how you connect the various experiences a patient have and connect the data along the pathway, along the each of the experiences, and make it in one timeline, in one view. So I, as the physician, can take a look and say, okay, you know, here at home, that person got an event, heart attack happened there. I see that ECG. I see a previous ECG taken a year ago, which was normal. I know it is definitely a problem. And then the patient came to the clinic, they gave them a drug, and then they came to my cath lab. I can see the whole track record. I see where the problem was. I don't waste time finding out where the problem was. I just go directly there and on my cath lab and I can treat the patient. After that, I can take them to the ICU. And when the patient comes back for a checkup with me, maybe the patient doesn't even come back. Maybe I give them a home monitoring device and they take care of themselves at home and they don't need to come to the hospital, waste time. That connected pathway is what we are creating. You know, in GE Healthcare, we have a lot of solutions which across the whole pathway, but we need to connect them better and make sure the clinician has a full view.
Do you know that you're indirectly helping me in a way with all these things that you provide? Not because I have hypertension, but because I come from a family of doctors, and my dad's a doctor myself. So I can totally, you know, understand, you know, the pathways that you're referring to. But talk to me about some of the latest technologies that are helping address the country's CBD burden. If you would like to highlight some of your innovations in this aspect as well, please.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about a few. So let's take the pathway approach, right? So let's talk from diagnosis. So in cardiovascular disease, there are two tools that are really always useful. You always start with those. One is the ECG, the second is the echo, right? We joke with people that ECG are the electricians of your heart and echo people are the plumbers of your heart. you first need to check the electricals are okay. If the electricals are not okay, you have to check which pipe is not functioning well. Where is the blockage, right? So we take the ECG first. So now ECG, there are ECG devices that are around. There are devices like the AliveCore. AliveCore is a handheld ECG device, which we announced a partnership very recently, where the AliveCore device is, ECGs are now integrated into the pathway that we create, right? So that's one of the examples. You do not need to be in a hospital for you to take an ECG. You can take that at home by putting your two fingers on the device, and that ECG flows through into a ECG management system that we have.
Right.
Now, suppose you have some problem with that. You go to a clinic. The clinic will usually prescribe an echo, right? So we have the Vivid systems that we have. We have Vivid systems are various ranges, and there are even handheld ultrasound devices like the V-Scan Air that we have in GE Healthcare. Actually, a team in Bangalore designed that. Our engineering center in Bangalore was part of the development process for that. So, and then from there, you would go to the hospital. In the hospital, depending on what's the problem. So there is cardiovascular disease is also a wide range of problems, right? So broadly speaking, there are
rhythm problems. Actually where your interventional cardiology solutions come in.
They do come in there. So, you know, if you have an arrhythmia problem or a rhythm problem, then typically the solution for that is either an ablation or a cath intervention, right? Mm. So that's the cath lab. It's machine learning powered. There are lots of features on it which allow the clinician and the technician doing the cath procedure to really, you know, enable and help them do it properly, get the right information at their fingertips. So that's something which we are really proud of, completely designed from the ground up for India, made for the Indian, clinician base and the population there. After that, once you are out of the cath lab, you are all good. You go to the ICU or the CCU. And in the CCU, there is the monitoring system. There are ventilators. We also have those that we provide. Monitors, for example, there are specific ones that are designed for countries like India. And, we have lots of special features there. The right price is an important consideration here always. Right. So they're at the right price point. Now, the entire workflow for arrhythmia, we have quite a few things under development which look at the atrial fibrillation pathway, right? So and that whole pathway, we are using machine learning technologies to actually, you know, in the future, predict how the patient is going to do going forward. So is the patient going to get better? Can we intervene early enough to make sure that the patient does better if we see the prognosis not that good? So there are a lot of things that are being worked on specifically for India and the kind of, far-flung places and the lack of specialists out there in our country. We have quite a few partnerships that we do. So one of the partnerships is with a company called Tricog, where we have partnered with them to identify STEMI, so heart attacks. So in India, the problem, actually, the bigger problem is finding heart attacks early. So STEMI is ST elevated myocardial infarction. So we need to find them early. And the problem is that although physicians may have ECG cards that we make, but they don't know how to read the ECG. Mm. And if you don't know how to read the ECG, then the whole thing goes to waste.
Correct.
So we partnered with this company where they take the ECG and they have people who overread it, who read the ECG and say if it is good or bad. They call back the clinician who takes the ECG and says, you know, that's a MI, send the patient to the cath lab, and here's the cath lab where you can take it to. So we not only do partnerships, we have our own made in India products like the Optima IGS, and that cath lab, we have a large R&D center in India in Bangalore, where we have a large team of scientists always working to take care of the needs of our population there in India and all the countries like India around the world where our solutions would come in hand.
I also feel, and you highlighted this actually in the middle of what you were just saying, you talked about machine learning in cath labs. I actually think that, you know, AI-enabled cath labs are really a game changer, right? And I believe you have some technology in that space.
So we have the Optima, the one that I told you that is designed and made for India. We have the AutoRide technology in there. We also have other AI-enabled tools in there which allow the clinician, the EP, the electrophysiologist doing the procedure, get the right information when they need it while they're doing the procedure.
Right. You've outlined key technologies for us that can be game changers for the sector. How do you see these innovations supporting patient centricity in care? And if you could elaborate on what you mean by precision health in the context of diseases like CVDs that are increasingly affecting younger India.
Yeah. So when we talk of precision health, again, it is about treating each patient as an individual, right? You know, in the past, the whole philosophy was about creating standard solutions and technologies that you could use for everyone. But, you know, everybody is different. So everybody's baseline ECG, for example, is different. And if you do not know the previous record of a person, you cannot really determine whether what you're seeing now is a disease or is right. just the normal ECG. For example, sports people have an enlarged heart because they put a lot of stress on their heart. So if you look at that heart in comparison to the normal one, you might feel they have a problem, but they don't. So precision healthcare is all about two things. One is enabling the whole data flow through the patient pathway to make sure that you can provide the right care for the patient, right? So as an example, when you take the example of the Indian population, now, you know, by genetics or by our diet or whatever, we have a higher predisposition towards cardiac disease, right? The incidence is pretty high. Now, when you do that, how can we create screening programs? How can we help work with clinicians to partner with them on screening programs? So there are a lot of doctors who do screening programs in rural places. They do a lot of outreach. We have a lot of partnerships there where we work with our clinicians. For example, in Bangalore, there are quite a few outreach programs done by Narayana Hrudayalaya, for example.
Yeah.
We work with them and we partner with them on those programs as well to make sure that we can go out and screen and diagnose early so that there are better chances of detecting disease early. So that's one part about precision health. You know, you detect it early in the population.
Yeah.
So that you can actually take that learning from the population and then you fine-tune it when you get somebody coming in from that population, right? A population from South India is different from a population from North India.
Mm.
You know, the way the disease incidence comes in, you know, they're different. There are differences between men and women, for example, in how the disease presents itself. So you have to get the data that allows you to treat that patient differently from the others based on their own baseline and based on the population where they come from. When we talk of machine learning, we talk of AI, we have algorithms that are not only on our imaging systems like the Optima, but also on ECG interpretation systems. And we should also talk about ultrasound. Ultrasound also has a lot of AI tools on it. For example, when you take an ultrasound to a rural population, the technician there, you know, sometimes may not be as highly skilled in terms of how you do the test, right?
Yeah.
So how do you make it easy for the technician to do the test? So we have tools like which when you scan the patient, you can actually, the AI tool can actually tell you what you are scanning and what you are looking for.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Do automated measurements. When you do automated measurements, the chances of errors are minimized. So you're not really making a mistake in a measurement and you come to the right conclusion, right? So AI tools that allow the clinician to diagnose and to take the data and measurements easily and you know with minimal training, those are the ones that we are working on. AI tools that identify the problem. Once you have that image taken, what is there a problem in that image? AI tools that do that, and they are on the cath lab, they are on CT systems, they are on MRI systems, they are on ultrasound systems. So all those AI tools also help along the pathway. So
right.
we are not only looking at the population, we are looking at individual patients, we are comparing it with their own baseline, and then we are going on and we are using AI tools to automate the measurement, taking the, you know, the diagnosis of the problem. And following up with that is the following up of the patient post the intervention and the treatment as well.
Okay.
Integrate all of it into one seamless pathway.
Well, that sounds simple.
Absolutely.
Walk in the park. You know, I think what stands out for me is of course, patient-centering and low-risk measures, right? Those are the newer technologies that provide support, number one. And also, if we look at it, we are increasingly seeing the need for penetration of digital technologies, like you mentioned, in tier 2, tier 3 regions as well. So what is GE really doing to facilitate this shift and scale the reach of important affordable healthcare solutions nationwide?
We are doing quite a few things. I would say, let me talk about a few. So one is, we need to ensure that it is easy to get access to the technologies, right? So it is not just, depending on our sales force to go out there and ensure the technologies are available. So we have partnered with, e-commerce technologies and partners where you can actually access the technologies online and get you can place orders like you do on Amazon or Flipkart, right? So that's one. How do you make it easily accessible to anyone who wants that technology through e-commerce? So that's one thing. E-commerce also helps you get access to education. So we have also partnerships with a few educational partners. We have a big medical education wing and a team.
Right.
In India. We work on partnerships with Tata, for example, and we have done a few collaborations there in terms of training nurses in increasing skills across the world. We partnered with the government of India on some of these upskilling initiatives that we have there. So that's one part about it, making it easily accessible, training the population. The second thing to do is about making partnerships with local companies who have innovations in this space. I mentioned the partnership with Tricog as an example. Tricog mm-hmm. is created by an Indian electrophysiologist, Dr. Charith, who is also a very good friend of ours and a good supporter. He's the one who started the company. We partnered with him to ensure that we can make an outreach across India. Right. We also have partnerships with several other clinicians of ours across India in this field. So the third thing we do is also create technologies that are specifically for India. So I talked about the cath lab, the Optima that we have. We also have specific ECG machines, for example, that were designed for India and they were made in India. We have a big manufacturing site in India so that we can not only design through our R&D center there, but we can manufacture it there locally in India, and we support the Make in India initiative as well. So all through these things, one, making it easily accessible, helping in training, designing things for India in India, and also partnering with local companies. And, we recently announced a partnership in India with Medtronic as well. So we have two partnerships, one with Boston Scientific across the world and Medtronic, locally. We also announced the LifeCore partnership. So we want to increase the ecosystem that we provide of solutions for our customers and clinicians so that they can take care of patients better by getting the right information and, more importantly, at the right time.
Yeah, and it needs to be affordable, accessible. And I feel like technology, of course, facilitates all of this, which is, of course, almost your forte almost at what you guys do. But while the healthcare industry is actually undergoing a huge digital upheaval with artificial intelligence, machine learning, you have augmented reality, virtual reality, then 5G connectivity coming in, of course, and a lot more. Do you think that clinicians and technicians have the resources to actually adapt to this changing ecosystem? And how can they be supported actually to navigate this digital health transition?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I would say the openness of clinicians and healthcare to newer technologies is varied. It varies across the world. I would say in India, as an example, the openness is quite high. And there is a lot of entrepreneurship going on in India. There are a lot of startups also in this space now. I would also say that COVID accelerated the adoption of new technology. Just imagine this, the way we are talking today, virtually like this, so easily and so seamlessly. It was difficult 2 years ago, right, before the pandemic.
Yeah.
The openness of patients and clinicians to be virtual and take healthcare like this virtually, telemedicine, was less, I would say much less, compared to what it is today, right? So the openness of clinicians to technological innovations has gone up. We are trying to accelerate that as well by the problem usually with technology is that when it tries to replace completely what you do, right? Whereas technology should augment and help and support.
And aid, yeah, absolutely.
Right? So that's the philosophy we go with. The mm-hmm. philosophy is that we are trying to give and make technologies that help augment what the clinicians do
Super.
By giving them more information. We are also trying to extend the clinician's reach when they cannot reach the patient. So when there are patients with heart disease, with hypertension. Hypertension is a precursor to big heart disease, right? You have to manage the hypertensive patient and the diabetes patient. They are all comorbidities. So how can we give information to the clinician on a regular basis for the patient at home so that the clinician gets early advance warning for if something is going wrong, right?
Mm.
If technology can do that, that adoption will be very high.
Yeah.
But if technology just is for the sake of technology, which causes more emails and more data, then of course people will not look at it, right? So we try to be careful about that. We try to be careful that we are not bombarding clinicians with more data that they cannot make sense of. We are focused on creating insights and creating tools that aid the clinicians to take the right decision versus just giving them, you know, tons of data. We already get tons of data today in whatever we do.
We have an overdose of it as it is, so much so that sometimes you're left wondering, okay, there's this data now, what do I do with it? Like after a point, you're like, okay, what else can I do with it? You know what I mean? I think you've thrown some fascinating insights into this entire space that we wanted to kind of discuss today. It's been super fun chatting with you. And I've enjoyed our little bit of conversation. Thank you for making it. I think more than anything else, for a person who might not be from the healthcare industry, I think you've broken it down for them very beautifully. Subconsciously, you've not even realized it, which is a big plus for us here at Mint, etc. So thank you for that. And it's been a real pleasure chatting with you, Ashutosh. I wish you guys all the very best.
Thank you, Gabe. Thank you for having me over. I had fun as well. Thank you so much.
And that's it for this week's episode. Please do let me know what you thought of it and what else you would want me to cover. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Undertecker. Yes, you heard that right. That's UNDERTECHER. You can also give us feedback at HT Smartcast. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please do log on to htsmartcast.com and listen to all of our productions.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.